This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Right now, I would say the top story with the Royals continues to be, what is the timeline like for Jack Caglione? So, Jack Caglione yesterday, if you missed it, to give you an update on how he is performing in Omaha, he had three hits yesterday, and since the call-up to AAA, he is slashing at 343, 351, and 800. He is the number one first base prospect in all of Major League Baseball. We asked Vern a couple of days ago how this big week and his start in Omaha, how this changes his timeline.
And he's earned it, right? He's forcing the organization's hand. He's forcing everyone. He's forcing your hand to talk about him right at the start of your show. Five home runs in a six-game stretch is remarkable, regardless of where you're playing. Now you do need to take into account that on average, during those games in Salt Lake City, there was more than 15 runs scored every single night, so the ball was flying. Still, that doesn't explain 459-foot blasts or nine base hits and five bombs in a six-day stretch. No, the kid has prodigious power. He's playing in the corner outfields, both left and right. He's doing that more than he's playing first base. Yeah, he's forcing their hand. He's forcing that timeline to move up. Now, in the Omaha uniform tonight, as he'll make his home debut. But, you know, if he can do it again, you know, he rattles off another five home run week, and you do it at a different ballpark, yeah, the conversation this time next week will be, where is he? You know, because right now it would seem, well, no, we can't get that far down the line. Again, a nice 1 week. Do it again, and then, like you're talking about, the conversation will once again completely change.
So that was Josh Vernier about Jack Caglione and his potential call-up. Let me read to you guys a little bit from Jeff Passan. So there are two big prospects right now. One is Roman Anthony with the Boston Red Sox. The other one is Jack Caglione here in Kansas City. So if you were going off what Jeff Passan says, I actually didn't have this number, so I'm happy that he put this down. If you add up the Royals outfield so far this season, they have a combined 236 batting average with a 285 on base percentage and are slugging at 332. So they're giving you nothing right now when it comes to the Royals outfield. Now, this part I think is very, very interesting. Quote, the Royals AAA team is in the middle of a two-week homestand. And if Caglione continues his solid outfield play and further cuts into his chase rate, so basically the balls that he swings outside of the strike zone, he could debut in the majors soon thereafter, according to a source familiar with Kansas City's plans. Now, I'll play for you what J.J. Piccolo had to say. I'll also play for you what J.J. Cooper had to say, who is the number one voice when it comes to minor league prospects in baseball. I think we are starting to get a clear picture on when this could potentially happen. Passan doesn't write this down without knowing. Passan lives here in Kansas City. So when he says familiar with Kansas City's plans, he's pretty high up. I think that Passan has turned himself into the number one baseball reporter in the entire sport. So we are talking about someone, his source, with direct knowledge of what the Royals are thinking about doing. I think right now, if you had to start taking money on when you think Jack Caglione is going to be up for Kansas City, I think we're talking about the series against the Athletics. That would be in 2 weeks. So if you look at it, and Rob, you can probably explain this a little bit better than me, there is a baseball Super 2 rule where it doesn't really make a lot of sense for the Royals for him to be up before June 12th. It is in your best interest as an organization for him to come up on the 13th or the 14th, that if you can hold off and wait three extra days, then we are talking about a pretty significant benefit on the back end if he is not on the team pre-June 12th. So I don't really see a reason for him to be up. I mean, unless the Royals completely run into a tailspin and you feel like you got to press the emergency hatch then, but I don't really know if there's a reason for him to be up in the next 13 days or so. That weekend series against the Athletics at Kauffman Stadium feels like the time, if you were going off this timeline from Jeff Passan. The AAA team is in the midst of a two-week homestand. If Cags continues to play outfield at a solid pace and continues to show the growth that they are looking for at the plate, I don't really know what the negatives are in trying to bring him up on June 15th, on June 14th. I'm starting to think that right now that is the betting favorite on when Jack Caglione is going to be here playing for the Royals.
By the way, real quick, the layman's terms, a super two, to really water it and dumb it down. Basically this, the Royals can manipulate his arbitration by waiting a year, like by waiting a few weeks. Like that's the easiest way to describe it. There's roster and contract manipulation at play that you can do with Jack Caglione if you wait the next, I think it's 2 weeks, wait to the 12th. But you're right. We talked about this with Noah Cameron. He has been so good at the major league level. He is demanding, you can't send me down. I'm too good. I am showing at this level, I deserve to be a major leaguer. Jack Caglione is showing that in AAA. He is showing you with his numbers, hey, I'm too good for this level. It's time to bring me up. He showed it at AA. He showed it in spring training. It is, I imagine, you know, the Royals, the best problem the Royals have is the logjam of pitchers, because too many pitchers is a good problem to have. Their second best problem, so to speak, is I imagine they didn't think Jack Caglione on June 12th would be knocking on the door, but he has exceeded all expectations, dominated every level they've put him in, and it's time to bring him up. You now are just waiting for the roster manipulation and giving him a handful more ABs in AAA. Like, Jeff Passan's not saying this because he's going to throw stuff against the wall. He is as locked in as anyone when it comes to covering Major League Baseball. So I think that A's timeline is right. Now, I don't have the schedule right in front of me, but that A's series is a Friday night, correct? That's the thought. I think that's also important to note. I don't think the Royals are bringing him up on a Tuesday. I don't think the Royals are bringing him up in the middle of a series. I think they're going to do what they did with Hosmer, what they did with Moose, what they did with, you know, all those guys. Your first start is a Friday night at the K. It's the start of a series, you finish your series in Omaha, and then you come up. So I'm not saying you're right or wrong, but it feels like the A's series could be a huge one because Jack Caglione could be in right field.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the Omaha schedule right now, so I'm pulling it up. And your point is, I think, a very fair one. I don't think they're bringing up Jack Caglione on June 11th, right before the deadline and in the second game of a series. They probably don't do that, but they do have a weekend series, the 13th, 14th, and 15th against the Athletics. So you would bring him into that series and then obviously see what can happen. So, I mean, right now, if you were looking at it, the Omaha Storm Chasers, they started their homestand on the 27th. Cags has played in both of those games, and their homestand ends on the 8th. They then go on the road. They play in Toledo for a six-game series. I didn't even know that's how they did it down in AA, but that is how they do it. They have a six-game series against Toledo. And then they have another homestand. I don't want to go through the entire Omaha Storm Chaser schedule, just trying to get an idea of when Cags could be here. Is Cags going on the road with them, we think? Because, I mean, they go on the road June 10th. Do you think that Cags makes that road trip? Because I don't know if it makes a lot of sense to send him to Toledo to then 2 days later call him up to come to Kansas City. Just in theory. Maybe that's what they plan on doing. I don't know. We're simply here speculating and we're trying to guess. But they go out of town again on the 9th of June. Do you think they are letting Cags get on a plane or bus or however they travel? I assume they're traveling by plane at this point. Do we think they're letting him get on a plane to simply call him up on Friday? Maybe they end up doing that. Hey, play a couple more handful of games, the 10th, 11th, and 12th. On that Thursday or on that Friday, we'll call you up and your major league debut will be Friday at Kauffman Stadium against the Athletics. Now, it's weird to not call them the Oakland A's or a team name. They're just the Athletics now at this point. I'm starting to think that is the plan with the Royals, just based on what Passan says. I want to play for you guys what J.J. Cooper had to say. Again, he is the editor at Baseball America. He might be the number one voice when it comes to prospects in Major League Baseball. Here's J.J. Cooper.
I would say it feels pretty close now, right? He's in AAA, and More importantly, he's doing everything he's doing, especially offensively, to where I want to credit, it wasn't me, it was someone else on our staff. Mark Fiorelli was talking to a scout who doesn't work for the Royals a couple of weeks ago. And that scout's prediction was, he said, you know, I'm not going to tell you that Jack Caglione may not struggle in the big leagues, but this scout's belief was, he said, but I don't think he's going to struggle until he reaches the big leagues. With that being the case, there's probably not that much, at least offensively, that AAA can teach him, right? He's going to succeed in AAA. He's going to mash. He's going to hit for power. The few, like, things that are kind of do items, the things he needs to work on, are probably things that, okay, sliders, from lefties, changeups from righties. In the big leagues is probably where he's going to get that lesson. And it probably isn't going to be taught to him in AAA, so that doesn't hold him back from coming to the majors. He has power that could help the Royals right now.
Someone on the text line 913-586-7965. Vern has said it 100 times. You don't bring up Cags to be the savior. You bring him up to be a strong asset. I think it's unrealistic to expect that this 22-year-old making his major league debut was going to be their savior. I just think that's a flawed logic from the very, very beginning. I mean, a strong asset. I mean, the Royals right now just, they are scuffling offensively. They have minimal power. They have minimal power. He might have the best power of anyone not named Bobby Witt Jr. in their entire organization, and that includes the big league club. So I don't think you should look at it like being a savior. I think he is a strong asset. You need a little bit of pop, a little bit of something. Now, to what we've been saying, Rob, is I wouldn't bring him up before June 12th and lose a year of service time for an extra 3 days of his service. I don't think that helps you in the long term. But if you are looking at it, this will allow him another week and a half of basically playing down in the minors. So you get him more ABs, more live reps, more opportunities to play outfield. And then if you're targeting June 13th against the A's, it's a home game. You know it's going to boost attendance if he shows up against the team that doesn't really usually move the needle. I mean, it makes a lot of sense to me, and it's in line with the timeline that we just heard from Jeff Passan of ESPN. Coming up on the other side, speaking of the Royals, we'll be joined by Bob Fesco to get his take on everything that is happening related to the location over on 119th and all. We got Fesco coming up next. Keep it right here. So Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We don't have this person on the show nearly enough, but I always enjoy when he makes an appearance. Bob Fesco called into the show today to talk about all of the happenings regarding the Royals and this location out on 119th and all. Bob, how are you doing today, my man?
Well, I'm good. You never come in and join us either, so we got to do this more, especially during football season. We said this last year right about this time that we would do a weekly hit on each other's shows. And then our producers didn't take care of and booking this stuff and setting it up, and they dropped the ball on it, Carrington. So I blame Rob and Mac for this.
100%. I told Mac I was happy to do it. He would always ask me Fridays at 9 o'clock, and you know I do television Fridays at 9 o'clock. I can do a lot of other times. I can't do that time.
No, I know. That time doesn't work for you. And it's, we have our roundtable, but we don't need you for that. We could have like a Wednesday CDOT segment, you know, and do something like that on the reg. It could be on the phone. You don't have to roll in there early.
I'm happy to do that, Bob. Bob, I didn't get a chance to listen today. How many I told you so's did you offer up today? Because you took a lot of arrows a couple of weeks ago. A lot of people called it hot take, fake news. You didn't know what you were talking about. You ended up being right about all of this.
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm not going to sit here and do a victory lap, Carrington. You know, I'll let you guys do that for me. I think it's better, you know, if you guys want to form the parade and have the fun and do all that. But, I mean, I hate to be the I told you so guy, but it doesn't even date back to last week. It dates back to February 27th of 2024 when I was on the air telling people, look, here's what I'm being told. If this vote fails, there will be other municipalities in the metro area that step up and bid on and try to get the Kansas City Royals, and it will be on both sides of the state line. Nobody wanted to hear that. And I think that's a big problem in society today, not just necessarily with this story, is that people don't want to hear what they find to be something they don't like or that they don't agree with. They don't open their minds, their tunnel vision. They think everything that they don't agree with is fake news and a hot take. And here we sit, the Royals getting ready most likely in the next couple of weeks to announce that they've moved to Kansas. And I don't think the Chiefs are going to be that much further behind, quite honestly. So I think this is just a situation that if you were listening and paying attention to everything that I was kind of saying all along, this shouldn't have been a surprise for anybody to see that this next step has been taken. And I can tell you just from some of the folks that, you know, I've talked to over the last couple of days with, excitement is starting to build for what could be an epic ballpark village area out at 119th and Nall, if and when this all gets finally complete.
So let's talk about sort of how this deal came together, because just a couple of weeks ago, Asperia released a statement that basically was emphatic. No, we are not in this. Do you think it was them either just outright denying it, or do you think that they were really kept in the dark about this and this just kind of happened behind the scenes? Because if you read the story, it sounded like, it read like this caught them off guard that this deal was reached.
Well, okay, so that was March. Again, we've been talking about 119th and Nall since October, roughly. How that catches anybody by surprise is beyond me. That's people failing at their job and not doing and keeping up with and being in tune to what's going on in the community in which they are in, right? There's no reason on this planet, Carrington, that Bob Fesco should know the dealings that's going on at a office complex campus when the landlord doesn't know what's going on with the office complex campus. That is right there failure to do your job. You know, in college football and in college sports, they call it like failure to monitor or something like that, and they always suspend the coach for something stupid like that. Failure to monitor. That's clearly what was going on with folks out there at that campus. They just did not know that this was all going on, and that's ignorance on their part. They needed to know that this was going on. So what do? Then you release a press release trying to run down the truth because you were basically caught off guard because you weren't doing your job at that point in time. There's one thing in that press release that Asperia put out that I thought was very interesting. They said they are committed to keeping it a mixed-use facility. It is not a mixed-use facility at this point in time at the Asperia campus. It is dilapidated office buildings that has been out of date since 2001, roughly, when it opened, right? 2001, 2000, when that campus opened. That is not a mixed-use campus right now. So they said they intend to keep it as a mixed-use campus, a ballpark, offices, restaurants, bars, hotels, all that kind of stuff. That is a mixed-use campus. And so Asperia claiming they're a mixed-use campus at this point in time, that's just not true at all.
Right now, we're talking to Bob Fesco, getting his thoughts, his reaction to the news of the day surrounding the Royals. There's a headline right now that the Royals have confirmed they used an affiliate to purchase the mortgage on the Asperia campus over in Overland Park. This is on 119th and Nall. The Business Journal is reporting that this sold on May 9th for roughly $164 million. We had John Ketz on the show. We're going to play that in its entirety coming up in about 45 minutes. He thinks that there is a chance that the Royals bought this property at $164 million, and one of the options could be for them to flip it down the line at an increase of a price. Are you hearing that that is a possibility? Because it seems to me that there are two possible options. Either the Royals are using this for leverage to see what's going to happen with Missouri, or the Royals are serious about building their new stadium on this location.
They're not using to flip that. That land right there has been sitting there for 20 some years and nobody has done anything with it. There are no houses around that area of land to get in the way of a ballpark or anything of that nature. It is the perfect spot. And it is exactly what John Sherman has talked about since he bought the club and doing a battery in Atlanta. That spot of land there at 119th and Nall is 10 acres smaller than the sports complex, which houses two stadiums and 22,000 parking spaces, mind you, flat surface parking spaces. And that spot is actually bigger than the spot that they have the battery in Atlanta, which houses, I think, 22 bars and restaurants, four Fortune 500 companies alone in that area. And it's built in exactly the same area of Atlanta that we would be building this stadium in out in Johnson County. I do not believe from the people that I've talked to, and I've talked to a lot of people on this, there is nobody thinking that they can take that thing and flip it. Otherwise, it would have been flipped a long time ago because that Sprint campus has been obsolete, like I said, since the day it's opened, and nobody's done anything out there. And it's basically sat for 25 years and collected cobwebs. And now the Royals are coming in and they're saying, we'll buy it. We'll put our stadium here. Because another thing that people need to be aware of is that Johnson County is now the economic driver of the Kansas City area. 55% of the Royals season ticket holders live within a 5-mile radius of 119th and Nall. You go to where your people are. You go to where your fan base is. You go to them. And I guarantee you their season tickets are going to grow and grow and grow when they open that stadium there.
I was just going to ask you if you think this solves one of the Royals' problem, because you and I have seen this. People don't go to the Royals games during the week. People certainly go on the weekend to Royals games, but you and I have been here long enough to know a Wednesday game, if it's not against a marquee opponent, people are simply going to wait to the weekend to go out there. Do you think this location helps them with that issue? Because again, on the weekends, they're going to draw a crowd. The Yankees are in town. The Red Sox are in town. People are going out there. Do you think this helps them during the middle of the week or for day games?
Well, I do, but I also think winning helps that, too. Like, the Royals do not have a history of winning. I don't think that's wrong to say, right, Carrington? Like, we're not breaking any news here. The Royals traditionally have been a bad franchise. And so when something is not on top of your mind all the time, you tend not to do it. I'm speaking from now a father with two kids that are at high school age, and we're doing all kinds of stuff. Our summer is already booked out. Our fall is pretty much already booked out. We're starting to spill into 26 with their events and stuff like that. Calendars fill up fast. And so if you're a baseball team and you're a losing baseball team for the majority of everybody's lifetime, they're probably not factoring you into a lot of plans to make sure that you get out to the ballpark. And so you should have the carryover the year after you were good. The Royals were starting to see a pickup at the gate. But to answer your question in a long way, yeah, I think it would absolutely help with walk-up traffic. People, again, 55% of the season ticket holders live within a 5-mile radius of 119th and Nall. Johnson County is the fastest growing county in the metro. More and more people are moving there, you know, every single day. And I think that, yeah, it'll definitely help with walk up traffic. Hey, you want to run up to the ballpark real fast? We can, you know, take a Bird scooter, or we can take an Uber real fast, get up there. We don't have to go all the way out to Independence, Raytown, 435 and 70. It's 25 minutes that way, 25 minutes this way. Maybe you don't even have to mess with parking because it's there, because you live so close, you can just take an Uber and get dropped off. Yeah, I think there may be some of those nights, Carrington, where you're sitting around on a Tuesday and you realize nobody's got anything. Hey, let's run out to the ballpark. It's right down the street.
Right now, we're talking to Bob Fesco for a few more minutes here, getting his thoughts on this story that is developing with the Kansas City Royals. Bob, you know that part of town far better than I do. Do you actually like this location? Because my question to John Sherman would be this. He has sold us on this dream of downtown baseball, and I get it. Like, you go to other cities and you see the stadium downtown and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. This whole thing, I want to know if they want a new stadium or a new downtown stadium, because 119th and all, that is nowhere near downtown Kansas City. And ultimately, when he started to communicate this vision, he always communicated this vision as being downtown, not simply a we want a new stadium by any means necessary, and we don't really care in the metro where we put it. They have flirted with North Kansas City. They're now flirting with Overland Park, Kansas. It sounds to me like he is at least getting away from the vision that he has sold for basically now 2 years.
Well, there's no leadership from the mayoral position in KC, Mo, and that's been a big problem throughout all of this. And when you don't have a strong leader at the top, it's hard to get anything done. And John Sherman, I'm going to give a long story real fast, if that's okay with you, because John Sherman is one of the most committed, dedicated members of the Kansas City community that I've ever seen. And I've been doing this a long time, and I've seen a lot of people. John, I think, supports at least 33 nonprofits. He has a program called the Sherman Scholars, where he, you know, sends kids to college on his dime. He's adopted numerous children and helped them and changed their lives. John Sherman is nothing but a great human being, and he wants to be in downtown Kansas City and wanted to be in downtown Kansas City. He was willing to put $1 billion of his own money into developing downtown Kansas City. And Kansas City told him no. And so I think that probably rubbed John Sherman the wrong way, because I know he wants to be in downtown, wanted to be in downtown Kansas City. It was his passion to be in downtown Kansas City. It's still my passion to see a downtown baseball stadium. I've wanted a downtown baseball stadium since I saw the original plans in 2001 at 20th and Grand for a downtown ballpark. It's been something that I've wanted. But the citizens also showed John Sherman they didn't want him either by a large margin. This wasn't a close vote. This wasn't one or two votes here, one or two votes there. It's a 60-40 type of vote that basically told John Sherman, eh, we don't want you. And how does that make John Sherman feel? A man who's dedicated money, time, and his entire life to making Kansas City a better place. And Kansas City basically told him, eh, we don't really want you. Go find somewhere else at this point in time. And so that's what John did. And he had to do that. And it's a good thing. It's not like we're moving to Nashville potentially, or Portland, or Las Vegas, or, you know, one of these other places that, you know, you lose your team. We're not losing our team. They're moving across the street potentially. I mean, that's all that's happening in this situation. But I think John felt burned by Casey Moe. I think he felt burned by, obviously, Frank White, Mayor L, the whole nine yards. Like, people did not lead when they needed to lead. They got destroyed at the polls, and now they have an opportunity to come over to the state of Kansas where they're getting their money for free, no strings attached, no public vote, and they can get moving and they can build the stadiums that they want. And that's the way I would go, because why do you want to go back to a vote again? The earliest it could potentially go is November. And then if you look at what's going on in Missouri right now, I have no idea how to explain what that mess is that's taking place right now in the state of Missouri. Why do you want to subject yourself to that anymore when you've got until June 30th to collect free money, basically no vote, and build your stadium?
Yeah, I also think too, Bob, is I don't know if the Royals would pass another vote. Like, all of it sounds good, right? Like, but Tomorrow, let's say the Royals put everything out and they say, hey, we have this great idea for a downtown stadium. We just need you guys help. Here, we're going to put it on the ballot. I'm not 100% sure that it passes in Jackson County anymore.
No, I'm not either. I don't think that it does. Do you think a Chiefs vote would count if they did a Chiefs-only vote on
it? I do think it would pass.
Okay, you do. But do you think the Chiefs want to go to a vote? Because I think they're gone too. I mean, that's just my opinion right now, reading kind of the tea leaves and everything going on. I think that vote really stung both franchises pretty bad. I think the Chiefs may have announced already if it wasn't for, hey man, Clark's dad built that house. You know, that's nostalgia to them. That's hard to do. You move out of your childhood home, you know, after 60 years that your dad physically built with his own two hands. That's hard to do. I think there's some of that pull in the Hunt family, maybe to potentially look at a renovated Arrowhead Stadium. But at the end of the day, these are businesses. And the way that the businesses of sports are going right now, other than the NFL, you're not getting your money through those TV deals anymore. You have to essentially be a landlord and have real estate all around the stadium that you own and collect rent and money on, and put that back into the ball club. The landscape of sports has changed so much, and the Truman Sports Complex, quite frankly, is outdated and doesn't give our owners the best opportunity to invest back in the ball club like a lot of these other places can.
Bob, you seem very positive about this. The mayor of Kansas City also sounds very positive. Why do you think both sides both seem to think that they are going to have the Royals and the Chiefs?
Well, he's a politician. He has to sound, you know, positive for his constituents and Casey Moe. And I seem very positive about this because I see what's happening before my eyes. And I've talked to enough people, you know, that are kind of, you know, have an idea of what's going on, getting the bits and pieces of stuff. And so I'm very, very positive that it's going to come out here. Nothing's a done deal yet. I've not said that it is a done deal. But when you have somebody that's part of your ownership purchase the land, what'd you say, $170 million or whatever it was, they're not purchasing office buildings that have been sitting there for the last 20-some years.
Right now, we're talking about Fesco for a couple of more minutes here. Let's say that this vote for this special session passes in a couple of weeks or so. How does that change?
They don't have a couple of weeks. They don't have a couple of weeks, Carrington. The deadline is June 30th in the state of Kansas.
But in Missouri, they have a special session that's coming up June 5th,
You're right. But what I'm saying is if the Chiefs or Royals do not announce by June 30th, the Kansas money's off the table. Then we have a problem.
Yeah, I don't really believe that part of it. This is why I don't believe it. If
well, that's what the bond sunset on June 30th. Whether you want to believe it or not, that's the fact.
Yeah, but to me, it just seems like if you're in Kansas and you simply want to move the deadline, if you guys come together as politicians and say, hey, we're going to give them another 30 days, you and I both just know. I find it hard to believe that a state like Kansas, that for the first time realistically in our lifetime, realistically has a chance to have an NFL team and a Major League Baseball team, they're now setting a hard deadline with the National Football League on when they can build their stadium. So that's why I think, let's say we get to the 21st and there's no resolution, then I think the people in Kansas are simply going to come up with a way to extend this thing to July 30th or August 1st or whenever they need to get a definitive answer from the Royals and Chiefs about what they want to do.
Yeah, I don't know legally that they can do that, Carrington, and it is something I'll check on. I think it has to go back again, and you know, sessions in Missouri and Kansas don't start till January. Now you're 2 years behind. This is not something that is a sudden deadline, though, Carrington. They've had since April 5th of last year to get something done. Missouri has chosen to sit around and scratch their ass, not Kansas. Kansas put together a plan. They gave the teams exactly 1 year. You got a year. That's not a short-term deadline at all. That's not a hurry up. I quite frankly have heard so many people say they're putting these fast deadlines. Once that vote failed, wheels started to go into motion. On February 27th of that year, a month and a half prior to that vote, I told everybody if this vote fails, they're going to take the next steps to look at other municipalities. And so this isn't something that's being rushed. This isn't something that's being hurried. This isn't something that needs to be extended. Everybody knows where they stand at this point in time. I think both the organizations are dotting I's and crossing T's and seeing what they can take. No matter what they do in the state of Missouri, it's going to have to go to a vote. The earliest something can get on the ballot in the state of Missouri is November. And let's say it's a Chiefs-only thing. Do the Chiefs want to wait all that time to see if something does pass with everything that's gone on in Jackson County? I think Jackson County had the first right of refusal, and then the rest is up to everybody else, and other people have come to the table that may have offers that are better than anything the state of Missouri can put out there.
So, Bob, I'll get you out of here with this, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds to me like you think we are going to have a definitive answer, a resolution on this topic at some point here in the next 30 days, that this is not a topic that we are going to be talking about once football starts. It sounds like you think that this thing is almost done, that sometime coming up in the month of June, both the Chiefs and the Royals are going to announce to us their decision to move to Kansas.
I wouldn't say to move to Kansas. I would leave off announce their decision by the end of June. I hope so. I guess everybody's tired of hearing about this thing. They all just want a resolution. Imagine living in Oakland and having to do this for 20 years and listening for 20 years about trying to get an A's stadium built. It's the beauty of having two states that can kind of bid to each other with the state line in the middle. We've got the best of both worlds. Our teams aren't leaving the metro area, regardless of what side of the state line they're on. Who cares as long as they're here? And if Kansas saves both of these teams from having to relocate to Nashville or to Portland or, you know, parts between, that's a great thing. This should be a good day for everybody in Kansas City. The animosity throughout all of this has been so ridiculously upsetting to me, because one state is trying to save these teams while another state is doing whatever it is that's going on over there in the state of Missouri. Kansas is like, hey, we'll figure out a plan. We'll keep our teams in the area because we know how important they are. People should be thanking the state of Kansas for coming to the plate and trying to save and keep both of these teams in our Kansas City area.
Bob, when was the last time that you went on a road trip?
Like what kind of road trip?
Just like you, your wife, and your kids just decided, hey, let's get in the car and let's go to Omaha to go to the zoo.
It's probably been a bit for that. Yeah, it's probably been a couple of years for that. Probably right during COVID was probably the last time we actually road tripped.
You know what I would suggest? Sometime this summer, you and your family should just get in the car, get some snacks, listen to music, and take a road trip this year.
Well, we're going to. Jen and I are driving to North Dakota here at the end of the month.
That's a road trip.
It's the only state of the lower 48 of which I have not been. So we are going to North Dakota, turning around and coming home.
Which one has Mount Rushmore? I don't know if that's North or South. Okay.
South Dakota. Yeah.
So I'm assuming you've seen the Mount Rushmore.
I have, yes.
Is it worth it?
Yeah.
It's
worth it.
You didn't say that in a way that made me feel like it was worth it.
No, I was pausing for dramatic effect. No, it's definitely worth it. I mean, it's 30 minutes. You know, you look at it, you go, great, fantastic, and you move on with your day. But, yeah, I mean, I'm into all of that kind of stuff. I love history. I love weird things on the side of the road, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's all worth it to me.
That is Bob Fesco joining us on the show today for the latest on the stadiums. Bob, I'm sure we'll talk about this again in the future. I appreciate your time.
You got it, my man. Anytime.
Absolutely. That is Bob Fesco joining us on the show today. So much to react to. We'll get to it coming up on the other side. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right. This is my reaction to what Fesco had to say, and also looking at the text line and seeing you guys' reaction to what Fesco had to say. I would tell Fesco this. I don't think I'm speaking out of turn. It is obvious that his information is coming from the Kansas side. It's obvious. Like, I don't know how you can take it any other way other than that. I also think it is important to note, and I think this is very, very important to note, and I say this as somebody born and raised in Kansas City, Missouri. In fact, I have never lived in another state other than the state of Missouri. You cannot feel optimistic about this right now. They don't have a plan in place. Right now, there is no plan in place on how to either fund a new stadium for the Chiefs, a renovation for the Chiefs, or a new stadium for the Royals when their opposition has a plan in place to do just that. So the reason a lot of the news that is coming from Kansas seems very optimistic and very sure of themselves is you are right now in a fight with someone who doesn't appear to be ready for the fight. Rob, tomorrow, if you and I decide to go out there and get fisticuffs, maybe the text line thinks I will win the fight. Maybe the text line thinks you will win the fight. Well, if the text line knew that for a year, you have been training for the fight, and I've been, well, you know, I mean, eventually I'll get to it. Eventually I'll get to it. At some point, it's really tough to make up the difference in this person has been dieting and training and doing everything necessary to win the fight while you haven't. If you believe the state of Kansas, I don't, but maybe you do believe the state of Kansas. June 30th is our hard deadline. It's May 29th. We're talking about 1 month, and they have said we are not moving our deadline. This is our deadline. Then we are less than a month away from one of the options going away completely. And Missouri doesn't have a plan. They don't have a plan on how to pay for any of these things. I live in the real world. And I'm not saying that you guys don't live in the real world. But I am telling you, the Royals are not paying for their own stadium. The Chiefs are not paying for their own renovations. We are paying for it. So you in Jackson County, you in Kansas City, Missouri, you in Johnson County, you who lives in Johnson County that comes over and buys things in Missouri, they are not paying for a bulk of this. We are. One state has a plan on how to pay for it. They do. One state has a plan on how to do it. The other one doesn't. The other one doesn't. They have no plan. That matters in this conversation. It honestly matters in this conversation that we are talking about where the funding is going to come from for the stadium.
I think one thing about the timeline that maybe, and it's possible I'm seeing this through a Kansas lens, and that's fine. I think one thing about the timeline that I think this will be a resolution in the next month is because if we know the Royals, let's use the Royals as an example. The Royals want a new stadium. When their lease expires at the Truman Sports Complex, I don't think they're renewing for a 5-year, let's try to get the ball rolling again. No, they are leaving the Truman Sports Complex, and that's in what, 2031, I believe, is when that ends. Might be 2030. I apologize for not knowing the exact date offhand. Well, if you're going to get a new stadium built somewhere in the city, it doesn't happen overnight. It's usually a 2, maybe 2+ year process. So whether the special session goes their way or the star bonds go their way or something, if you are going to break ground and build new, you take time. So that the expiration of the lease is part of this timeline too, which is why, and I see it the same way Bob sees it. If you don't get the special session to go your way, are you going to wait to maybe go back on the ballot in November? And then we've seen now Missouri politics, even if something goes on the ballot in November, they can drag their feet for another calendar year before anything happens. Now it's 2026, 2027 before you're breaking ground on something new. That's a terrible timeline for the Chiefs and or Royals. So I think as much as the star bonds and special session deadline exists, the lease expiration is the big date to keep in mind here, which is why I think the timeline does get accelerated.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, you're wrong. Missouri does have a plan. They just can't get the plan approved. They don't have a plan. Like, I understand what you're saying, but if you have a car, but your car doesn't drive, and you've been taking the bus for the last year to work, you don't have a car then. Right now, we're arguing semantics. Yes, Missouri has an idea. They don't have a way to get it approved to actually get the money to use to fund the stadium. So you don't have a plan then. You don't have a plan. I mean, I did my homework. I just left it at home. They don't have it then. It's not done. What are we arguing here? That's where Missouri is. Yes, they had a plan the first time. Hey, we have the stadium. We have where it is. We need your help. The people of Missouri were like, no, we're okay. I think some of this, and we can talk more about this coming up in a bit with Jonathan Katz. I think some of this is the Royals are not confident in their ability to pass a vote. I think the Chiefs would pass a vote. If the Chiefs put together a realistic renovation plan, one that excited the public, and they came to you and said, we would like to extend the 3/8 of a cent sales tax, I think they would get it passed. I don't know if the Royals can get something passed right now, not in Jackson County. If the Royals came with the same plan for downtown Kansas City and they're asking you guys, hey, we need your help to stay here, I think a lot of people on the Kansas City, Missouri side would be like, we don't care if you move over there. Go ahead. I think people really care where the Chiefs Stadium is. I don't know if they feel that same closeness to where the baseball stadium can be for a lot of different reasons. But I think the Royals are also trying to get a plan passed through in Missouri, and they need this money because you don't need this money to go to a vote. If they end up passing this special bill, they don't have to ask your permission for anything. They had to ask your permission the first time. You told them no. It's like when your kid comes to you and says, hey, I want the new video game system. No, go get a job. You got two choices then. Either go get a job or don't have it. All right, well, now you got to figure out where the money is going to come from before you, yeah. So that's where I think we are, at least when it comes to the Royals. We're going to talk about this more coming up with Jonathan Katz in a little bit. I'm very excited to get his opinion on all of this. I thought what he had to say was very, very interesting about this. Fesco was also very good. If you missed it, check out the podcast page. Really happy to catch up with him. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, let's switch gears for just a little bit. Let's talk a little bit of football. We'll talk about Isaiah Pacheco. He was named as the breakout player for the Kansas City Chiefs. They are also saying that Rashee Rice is ahead of schedule. They also said that Josh Simmons is ahead of schedule. And Patrick Mahomes talked about the Olympics and flag football. So a lot to get to. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. So drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.